Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted this year's Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm glad you're here. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. I'm glad Matthew Cartwright is here, too. Matthew is an attorney, but we love him anyway, and he's a partner of Munley, Munley & Cartwright out of Pennsylvania, and he also is the Law Review graduate of the University of Pennsylvania Law School, and he's going to talk to us today a little bit about discrimination. Matthew, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Jim, and good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to have you back. Matthew, discrimination in the workplace is it's not just something that happens. It's become a body of law, hasn't it? And this is an area that not only discrimination, but today I'd like for you to talk to us a little bit about discrimination and harassment in the workplace. But let's start out with discrimination. This is an area that business owners, especially small business owners, run afoul of, and a lot of times we don't even realize that we're doing it. Now, I'd like for you to help us with some definitions.
Well, yeah, that's right. I think that it's probably a very appropriate topic for the small business advocate, because small businesses don't have the kind of infrastructure, the kind of backup that big businesses have. But small businessmen don't have the time to spend a week going off to a seminar and to learn about human resources practices. They don't have a human resources department, so they have to kind of learn about discrimination law on the fly, and listening to your show is probably a good way to do it. Discrimination is loaded with misconceptions, and I'd like to touch on some of those today if we can get to them. I've defended companies against discrimination cases, and I've even handled some for the employees. So it's something that I've learned about, handling these cases.
From both sides of the desk.
Right. You have basically four categories of protected employees: race, gender, age, and handicap. So kind of an extra level of caution applies when you're making major decisions about employees in those categories, and I'm talking about whether or not to hire them, whether or not to fire them,
mm-hmm.
whether or not to transfer them, whether or not to promote them, demote them, major decisions about
compensate them.
Right, compensate them, major decisions about their careers. And those are decisions that small business owners make about their employees.
One of the reasons why it's extra challenging for small business owners is beyond just the fact that we're probably somewhat ignorant of the minefield of wading through the minefield of discrimination in the workplace, but also, as you know, if you're a huge corporation, you've got a target. You've got a certain number of people that you've decided the corporation is going to have working for you who fit these different cases: the age, gender, race, handicap, that kind of thing. And even if you've got somebody who's not performing in their position, they fill a certain role in terms of a quota almost. And I hate to use that example, but that's basically what it is for some of the larger corporations. And even if they're not doing their job, the company is so large that the other people can make up for that, and the company lets it go. In a small business where you've got 5 or 6, 8, 10 people, everybody has to pull their weight. And so there is no room for anybody, regardless of who they are, to not produce for a small business. And so if they're not doing their job, we have to get rid of them.
That's right. But and I know you didn't mean to say quota. Quota is not part of the law.
I didn't mean it in a legal term. I meant it just in a term of representation.
Right. And I think you're right, though. I think big corporations do keep a certain number of people in the categories just for appearance purposes. And you're right. Small businesses don't have the luxury of doing that. So you got to be very aware of what discrimination law is. You want to and the way to do it, the way to brush up on these things is to go by rules of thumb.
Mm-hmm.
The best rule of thumb for a small business owner to stay away from falling afoul of the discrimination laws is, number one, don't discriminate. Number two, tell the truth. That's probably my favorite topic. Telling the truth is so difficult sometimes because that means you have to tell what the actual story was, even if it sounds stupid or embarrassing.
Matthew, hold on to that thought. We're going to come right back to this right after these messages, folks. We're going to take a quick break, sell a couple of things. We'll be right back with our good friend Matthew Cartwright. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Matthew Cartwright. And Matthew is an attorney, and we're talking about discrimination. And Matthew's been on both sides of the aisle on this issue. He's prosecuted these. He's served the plaintiffs and he's served the defendants, so he knows what he's talking about. And Matthew, you were talking about some rules of thumb. Now, I thought it was interesting that you would use a rule of thumb, which is we all know is a loose kind of a way to approach something, to keep us out of a highly technical body running afoul of a highly technical body of law, but really they're rules of thumb, but they're really very simple and basic, aren't they?
They are. Don't discriminate. Don't let somebody's race, gender, age, or non-job related handicap have any influence on your major decision having to do with their career. And number two, tell the truth. Now, tell the truth, it sounds so simple, but you wouldn't believe the way people bend over backwards to avoid telling the truth in those situations.
And these are not people who are typically are liars either, are they?
No, and half the time they're trying to save face for somebody, typically even the employee.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to come out and say the embarrassing, awful truth about the employee.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, no good deed goes unpunished.
Absolutely. Sometimes it seems that way anyway.
But what you have to realize is that a lot of those technical rules about discrimination cases are there to acknowledge the fact that people who really do discriminate, and they're out there, the people who really do discriminate are going to lie about it. And so the way the prosecution wins one of those cases is they catch them in their lie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so a lot of times somebody's going to be making up a reason for to be nice or to cover up an embarrassing but still non-discriminatory reason.
Mm-hmm.
Give you an example. We had a case where two companies merged, and it was the intent to keep all the salesmen on from both companies. Only one salesman didn't get retained. He was a 60-year-old. You know what the real reason was? It was because they rushed the due diligence and they didn't see his file.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a stupid thing.
Right.
And they were embarrassed about admitting that was what had happened. So they made something up. Well, the prosecution...
Instead of just hiring him back.
Right.
That's all they had to do, which they would have done if they'd found his file, right?
Exactly.
So they made their own. They made their mistake into a problem.
Exactly. So if they had just followed the rule, tell the truth, even if it hurts,
mm-hmm.
They never would have gotten hot water in the discrimination laws, which they did.
But what about, Matthew, my people listening are saying, well, look, I wouldn't fire somebody because of their race. I wouldn't fire somebody because of their gender. I wouldn't fire somebody because of their age. And certainly I wouldn't fire a handicapped person just because I wanted to do that. But they're saying, but yet they also either it's happened to them or they know people who it's happened to who wouldn't have done any of that either. But they had to let somebody go. It just happened to be that person. They fit into one of these categories and they got sued anyway.
Right. That's a tough
What do you do
call.
About that? And that didn't have anything to do with not telling the truth, and nobody discriminated against anybody.
That's true, and you know, the truth is the daughter of time, we say in litigation, and you have a very good shot at winning that case if it happens to you. What's the best protection for that situation? Buy insurance. You can buy liability insurance for discrimination cases.
Hmm.
Not only will it cover your liability, but it's going to cover your lawyer's fee. To talk to your friendly neighborhood insurance agent about that and make sure you have discrimination coverage.
But what about documentation, though? Let's say this person is the person's handicapped. Now, they're not handicapped in a way that prevents them from doing their job. We didn't give them a charity case they're not a charity case. We didn't hire them because we wanted to give them a handout. They actually are able to perform their job, but they happen to be handicapped, but they're not doing their job, and so we have to let them go, and we take 90 days and plenty of documentation to show them that we're not happy with their work. We need them to improve themselves, and if you don't improve yourself, here's what will happen, and when that ultimately happens, and then we still get sued, isn't that documentation our defense?
It absolutely is. That's your best defense, and we do that even in my law firm. When somebody's not performing, you've got to document it, and you've got to give them every opportunity to improve, within reason. But yes, those documents become your defense. Absolutely.
This is a lesson we can take from the big companies, isn't it, Matthew? Because the big companies do this. I mean, when they don't just fire somebody today. I mean, it takes 90 days to 6 months to get rid of somebody in most cases, other than for some obvious fraud or something like that, to get rid of somebody just for performance. They take the time and they document it.
Yes, they do that out of corporate policy, but I'll say to you, I bet in the majority of the cases of small businesses, they do it out of caring. When you're a small business owner, these are like people in your family that work for you, and you care about them, and you want to try to have them turn it around. You're not just planning to let them go, and you're documenting. You want them to improve. You want them to make it in your company. That's
right.
Why you hired them.
I like your rule of thumbs. Don't discriminate, and if something happens that looks like you might be sued or whatever happens, tell the truth.
Yep.
That's a good rule of thumb to use. When we come back, I'd like to get into the harassment in the workplace issue a little bit, Matthew, and we'll do that right after these messages, folks. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. Back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Matthew Cartwright is our guest. He's an attorney with the law firm of Munley and Cartwright. And we're talking about, by the way, Matthew, why don't you give us your website, please?
Sure. It's www.munley.com.
All right. And you're there in Pennsylvania. Remind me of the city.
We have 7 offices throughout northeastern Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So, Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, that area.
Right. You're in the Scranton area, I think,
as I remember.
Okay. You gave us a couple of outstanding rules of thumb for avoiding discrimination in the workplace. Don't discriminate and tell the truth. What about rules of thumb for harassment in the workplace? The harassment issue is a really difficult thing to keep up with, isn't it?
A little bit more difficult than the flat-out employment discrimination cases. It comes from, typically it's sexual harassment we're talking about, and the claims are typically brought by women in the workforce that are being harassed by co-employees. Not the ultimate employer,
right?
Himself.
Not the boss, but maybe a manager or a peer.
Right. If you're the boss and you're engaging in sexual harassment, I don't really have much advice I could give you. But if you're the boss and you're and you have, suppose you have a warehouse where a lot of tough guys work.
Right.
And there's a couple of ladies there, and they're getting a bad time from the tough guys. Well, what do you do? Of course, the Bible asks the question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And mm-hmm. the Bible's answer is yes. The same answer applies in discrimination law. You are your employer's keeper to some extent. It's not to the extent that you have to have closed-circuit TV cameras watching your warehouse. But it is to the extent that if you are on notice that co-employees are bothering each other in a sexually harassing way, you have a duty under the law to take steps. If you are on notice, now you can't just bury your head in the sand,
mm-hmm.
but if you get any whiff that some of the employees are being sexually harassed by other of your employees, you have a duty to look into it. You have a duty to be thorough in your investigation. You have a duty to be unbiased in your investigation. We were involved in a case where the sexual harasser who was doing it was lifelong friends with the owner of the company.
Mm.
Well, how unbiased was the owner's investigation into
probably
the matter?
Probably not very.
Right. So in that
case,
he
gave the guy the benefit of the doubt. And you got to document all this too, don't you?
Absolutely.
Because if you wind up being drawn into court, and you ask Matthew to defend you, or you see Matthew across the table on the other side, then somebody's going to ask for, you know, how did you handle, when you were notified, sir, of this, what did you do? What steps did you take? Do you have any documentation?
Right, because you're going to find yourself in a position where you believe the accused employee sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to take the accused employee's side, you're really in high danger of being sued for sexual harassment in the workplace, and you better be able to document the file and show all of the reasonable efforts and the unbiased way you went about your investigation.
You've really got to be unbiased about it, and an owner has to assume the attitude that nobody working for me should be afraid to work for me.
Absolutely, and you should convey that message.
Male or female.
Exactly. You should convey that message that no sort of sexual harassment will be tolerated. It's a zero tolerance policy with the company.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the challenges we have today, we've got a new level of difficulty, is because of the internet and being able to communicate by internet, by email, by instant messaging, and by access to the internet. And that's an area that I'd like for you to come back another time, Matthew, and talk to us about the sexual harassment issue vis-a-vis technology with regard
sure,
to technology.
Sure, that adds all sorts of new wrinkles.
That's a whole new thing that we can talk about. I'd like for you to do that when you join us next time.
All right.
Matthew Cartwright, ladies and gentlemen, with Munley and Cartwright, the law firm, and it's Munley.com is the website. Matthew, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having
Good
me
Good job
again.
Today. We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.